tick tock goes the day, and just like that, it's gone and you never get it back. So think about the ones you love, and you just might look them in the eye and even say so. Well, there you are, and welcome back to Redemption's Table. I'm excited because you just listened to a song by an artist and musician, Wayne Kerr, and I am always excited whenever we have the opportunity to not only hear a song, highlight a song, but to have that singer-songwriter with us on the podcast. So welcome, Wayne.
Thank you so much. Thanks for inviting me, guys.
And it's also great to have back as co-host today, Steph Cherry. There she is.
Thank you, Robert. Thank you.
And kind of we're here because of Steph, because back in, well, just last year, she sent me a copy of a book. The book is entitled Braving, subtitled The Art of Pursuing What Makes You Come Alive. And Wayne, you're the author of that book.
Yes. And that was a wild, frightening experience. Anytime I think when you're trying to step into something that's kind of new, you're always like, wow, this is uncharted territory. And, you know, the water's moving and you're stepping into the water and you're like, let's do it. And you just never know how it's going to go. So, but I'm so thankful. Yeah.
And I'm grateful to Steph for sending me the book. Mm-hmm. And Steph, I'm going to let you open us up because you were instrumental in bringing Wayne to the table or bringing Wayne to my attention.
So when I got the book and Wayne actually sent me two copies and I started reading it and I was like, oh, I know exactly who I'm going to send this book to, because Robert is collecting stories, you know, right here on his podcast to inspire people to reconnect with Jesus or feel Jesus or, you know, just move closer to him. And I felt like that's exactly what you were doing in your book. Those testimonies change us. And so I sent it to him. You know, and I was like, Robert, this is what we need to do. And it got our little bracelets, you know, you sent the little bracelets.
Yeah.
And I just thought it was such a great and powerful book. And I shared it. And so many other people have come back and like, I'll go out to lunch. I go to breakfast, you know, like, oh, let me tell you what story spoke to me.
Wow.
And I love that. I love it. And, you know, Robert's like, okay, where's this? What happened? Like we're constantly just talking about the stories in the book and how powerful they each were. And so, I want to just thank you for writing it. It was awesome. I loved it.
Thank you.
And I was just curious myself, like, how the book changed you personally.
Yeah. Well, so just to give kind of like a 60-second backdrop to those who are wondering what we're even talking about, at the time that I was coming up to, before I even thought I'm going to do a book, I was coming up on a couple things, a couple crossroads. One, I was turning 50. Dun, dun, dun. Okay. And I was like, 50? What happened to my 40s? Like, we had kids in my early 40s and, you know, life has been busy. And so I was coming to 50 and then also was getting a sabbatical opportunity through my church. And so it was like a chance to, for 2 or 3 months to like, to stop. I mean, really stop. And I guess I just realized in my whole adult life, I had never had the blessing of just stopping, you know, but it was coming at such a perfect time. And so I realized, wow, deep in my heart, I was like, wow, God is saying, look, good, spend a lot of this time doing and working, and those are all good, but now you need to stop. You need to just rest and stir your heart a little bit more, right? And so one of the things in all of that was I wanted to reach out to people who I look up to or people that inspire me with their story, you know, and just to say, can I have coffee with you? And you know, just to talk, because it's like in sabbatical, that's one of the things you get to do is really hear from other people. And so the first plan was that I would just have a journal for myself to just reach out to some of these people. And so I started kind of shooting off some email, and with all the years of doing music and then also some art and speaking things, I'm kind of known a lot of people or been one person away from someone that I was like, I wonder if I could talk to so-and-so. And so I started sending out some notes, and some of them came back as, no, who are you? You know, and some of them came back as, sure, yeah, I remember you. And some of them were like, yeah, let's do it. And as I started having those conversations, like what you said, it was like, wow, I'm getting these nuggets from other people's stories that it should be maybe beyond just a journal for me. Like, I don't have a huge reach. I'm not a famous musician or author or anything like that. But it's like, felt like God was stirring me to say, hey, share these stories and whatever platform you have to kind of just keep this discussion going. Because, and even one of the chapters is being a lifelong learner. You don't check the box off and say, I'm done learning. I know all there is now, and I'm the Pope, and, you know, and whatever. So it was just fun to reach out. And so the conversations are with people who are faith leaders or entrepreneurs or painters and musicians, and really just talking to them to say, well, let me hear more of your story. So that's kind of what that started that. And how it changed me, I guess, would be a whole big thing to unpack as well, because just the process, even in the beginning, was bigger than I thought it would be. And I even emotionally, I guess, like, as you guys probably know, because I've put out 9 albums in my life. And so you would think that maybe if someone says, well, I've put something out into the world and how frightening that is to do, you might think, well, this guy doesn't have any fear about that. But all of a sudden it was a different river to say, what am I doing here? And really, one of the guys that I talked to it was in the last chapter, who I really loved talking to, was John Eldridge, right? I really look up to him a lot and follow his podcast and his books. And he was really amazing, because I said, do you ever have those voices when you're trying something new, to step into something new, that is like, I shouldn't do this, or who does this guy think he is? And, you know, all that. And he said, yes. And he said, really, those voices are only going to come from 3 places. He said, one is the enemy, because there's an enemy that doesn't want anyone to put anything beautiful into the world or anything honest. And so we have to say, I don't receive that. I'm going forward. And then the other voice may be other people saying, you know, who are you again? You're an author now, and blah, blah, blah. And just to say, I don't receive that. I'm stepping forward. But this was very interesting on the final one. He said, if there's a 1/3 place where if it's in your own heart and you're saying, who am I to XYZ? I remember he put his hand on his heart and he said, ask Jesus into that stuff, because that's the beautiful territory of Jesus. If you're something in your own heart where you're saying, I don't deserve to be able to try this thing or explore this part of what you're calling me to. So yeah, all of those moments were real big for me to just have to push through some of that.
Yeah. I was rolling into a position yesterday, a place where I serve, and I had the thought, you talked about the enemy, that voice, and it just hit me. The enemy is a ventriloquist, and he tries to use God as his dummy.
Sure.
And, you know, just and I like the fact you stepped into change, you know, that the river is continuing. Mm-hmm. And I find that also in my own life. A lot of the things that I write now, I just reposted last night, something I wrote a few years back. And the title of it is, I can't even pronounce the title. That's what kind of author I am. It's antithetically enigmatic.
Wow.
But I like that kind of writing, where one of my favorite proverbs is, it says, it is the glory of God to hide something. Mm-hmm. And it is the glory of kings to find it out. And I'm like, you know, we don't have to make everything we do ABC 1, 2, 3. Do you get it? You know, I think there ought to be mystery. That you're trusting the intelligence of the listener to your song or the viewer of your art to think for themselves and to draw something out. And I love the fact that there are well-known people on here. John Elder's one of my favorite authors. I listen to Wild at Heart every week. Mark Harris for him. Yeah. The story that hit me the most was your friend Raymond Turner. And what he's doing at Cook's Hospital there in Dallas. But that story, that there was something beautifully incredible, redemptive about what he's doing. And tell us a little bit, just a snapshot of Raymond.
So he's this amazing guy that I knew from my time in music. We just became real good friends. He was a drummer, amazing, amazing guy. One of my dearest friends. But as his story has come along, God has led him through times of teaching music and performing music and playing it, being on staff at churches. But then most recently, in the last, I think 7 or 8 years ago, this position at Cook's Children's Hospital that's in the Dallas area, and they have a recording studio, which he was running a recording studio and teaching recording things here in Houston. But it's in the hospital. And it was fully decked out and funded by Garth Brooks. He like sent his tech people and they outfitted it all. He donated it all. And they were hiring someone to be the lead producer in this children's hospital. And they literally make music and help kids that are dealing with serious illness or even terminal illness to be able to write songs or record things for their family members. I mean, just heavy, heavy stuff. And even like preemies, this is the part where you look at all the dots that God can connect. Premature little ones who may or may not, I mean, even ones that are unborn still that may not make it, they'll record the heartbeat and he will ask things of the family, ask all this information, and he'll put music to the heartbeat of the child and give it to the family. Even if the heartbeat is irregular, he will musically match around the irregular. I mean, it's incredible. So as he and I were reconnecting again, I was reminded of the fact that he was, in fact, a preemie born extremely premature, and the doctors did not think he was going to even make it. And his grandmother basically raised him, and he did make it. And he went on into school. And some of the funny stories in there, when he would be in elementary school tapping on his desk, you know, and the math teachers were like, if you're going to keep tapping everything, you need to go down to the music building and be in the band. And he walked down there and he said, it's like the door of Narnia opened and he saw all the instruments, and just seeing as how that's his story. And now he's getting to serve those families in such a specific way. And it's it's just so sweet. So he's an amazing, amazing guy. And he's the one who told me that term Merakai, which I mentioned in there. There's a whole chapter about that, which is just this word that means you, when you're so passionate about what you're as your craft, that you literally are so passionate about it, you leave part of your soul in it when you are working on that thing. And so if anyone even resonates or hears one story today, that it should be Raymond's, because that's like so beautiful what he's doing.
Yeah. And I saw that goes back to the territory of John Eldridge putting his hand over his heart and saying, Jesus territory. Yeah. You know, Jesus territory is redemptive territory. And that story, just there's such redemption in that, is just amazing, kind of almost in another galaxy from the way we normally think.
That story really spoke to me. And like, Demby and I have lost 6 babies. Mm. And so as I'm reading it, I'm like, Demby. And I think I do that. You know, do y'all naturally do that when something hits you? I just grab my, right?
Yeah.
It spoke to me so deeply. And it just reminds you of how God is constantly creating beauty to just minister to people, and how he uses us. And like, the enemy, like we're talking about, discouraging us, right? To bring levity to Robert's extremely theological, beautiful conversation. I named that voice in my head Jolene from the Dolly Parton song. And I asked God to give it a really thick accent so that I would know it wasn't from him or mine.
Wow, that's hilarious.
And so sometimes I hear those things in my head, I'm like, simmer down, Jolene. For the levity of the whole thing.
That is so funny.
Anyway, Wayne, I wanted to tell you, I love your artwork. I told you I was in Simply Irresistible, which is in Waco.
Yes, yeah, yeah.
The basket of, I had churches, Jesus, you know, things. And I took the whole basket and I went and bought it. And I was like, I love this. And I didn't even know that you did any of that.
Yeah.
So I sent one to Robert. I send them to everybody.
Wow. Oh, my goodness.
My grandpa was a cowboy artist, like a CA.
Okay.
Cool. I have a deep love of cowboy art and fine art. Anyway, I love it. And it ministers to me. Your art is powerful. I bought all of the, there's like a Jesus, it's just like an outline. Do you know what I'm talking about?
Yes. Yeah.
All the ones that they had.
Wow.
I sent them out like at Christmas. And so many people responded back to me. I got thank you notes for the card.
Wow.
Like it just spoke to them. Is that,
wow.
Isn't that amazing?
Well, that's when I get reminded that it has way less to do with me.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm thankful for that. And I'm in awe of that, you know, and it doesn't speak to the gift so much. It speaks to the giver of the gift. You know, it's like, right. Wow, God is wanting to connect a heart to a moment. To maybe remind, like this morning, I'm riding my bike and, you know, even through COVID and any craziness, I'm going to try not cry on your podcast. You know, Psalm 23 has just been my like foundation during this whole couple years. And, but just being reminded, he leads me in the path of righteousness so that I'll make my name big. No, it doesn't say that. Mm-hmm. Lead me in the path of righteousness so I can sell some stuff. No, it's like, what is it? It leads me in the path of righteousness for his namesake, right? Because he's just wanting us to bring our gifts to the table and partner with him because he's at work all around us, right? And so for his namesake, then we look at it and sometimes we don't see the fruit of that. I mean, especially if you work in church life, sometimes we don't hear anything like, or we might hear a story like this about those greeting cards and you have enough oomph to maybe keep going. You know, because sometimes you think I'm going to toss it in. That's a waste of time. But he says, you know, I'll lead you on the right paths and I'll be with you. And it also brings me glory, you know. And so that's the only thing I can think of when I hear those stories about like those, the artwork like that. It's like, wow, because that's what I was doing when I was 7 years old. I was drawing and sitting around. And now I marvel like my little girls are 10 and 8. And my little girl, you know, Emery will say, hey, tell me something to draw now. And I'm like, I'm like reliving my own childhood. And I'm like, go draw that chair over there. You know, and she's off drawing the chair. And I'm like, I wish I could have a window into seeing what God has in store for them, you know. But thanks for sharing that encouragement. That is very sweet. Wow.
Yes, it's beautiful. I love all of your stuff in your bear.
Yeah, fun.
So charming.
Well, that's one of the questions I asked John Eldridge. I was like, because also during that time of this book, I was and still am asking God a lot of questions of like, you know, where should we be putting our time and where do we serve? I mean, yes, it's good to say I have it all. I trust in Jesus, and that's good. But at some point, then the next 2 hours from now, you need to make a decision between A and B in life, right? And He gives us choice. But asking even John, I was like, am I most glorifying God when I'm on the platform playing the guitar and we're singing these songs of God? But am I bringing glory to God when I'm painting this bear that's, you know, quirky and the ones getting water out of the thing? And should it have a little secret cross hidden on the back of the bear's bottom, you know? And John was like, no, the bear doesn't need a hidden cross. Like, because it all speaks to the goodness of God, you know?
If you make a bear bottom cross picture.
Oh, bear bottom, not bear bottom. Bear, B-E-A-R.
Oh, I was like, I'm picturing this little cross on the bear's bottom.
But yeah, that's when you've crossed the line into weird things. But but it was just good to hear him and hear him share, like, you know, all of those things, even if it's not overtly iconic of God, it is speaking of God. Like, I was at an art booth one time and I'm standing there with these paintings. And like, again, at those venues, like, people don't know me as Wayne or the Christian singer or Kelly's husband or what. I'm just some guy standing with his artwork. And this lady walked up and she goes, I'm an atheist. And I was like, nice to meet you. I'm Wayne. You know, like, what is that? Where's that from? You know? And she says, I'm an atheist. But I tell you what, you have that picture. It looks like Yellowstone. And she said, I was a flight attendant for a bunch of years and I don't believe there's a God. But I tell you what, if there is a God, that's his handiwork right there. And she talked for like 20 minutes trying to convince me that there's not a God, but there, if there is, he created all these things. And at the end of that 20 minutes, she's like, well, what do you do? And I was like, well, I'm a painter, but I'm a Christian artist and I write a book. And she's like, oh, I'm sorry. And I said, it's okay. It's good. But it just showed me, like, in that little booth, God had a divine appointment set up for her not to just have a conversation, you know, and for her to just see the goodness of God in his creation was okay, you know. And then for us to share and unpack that more and talk about person of Jesus, and that, yeah, it was the church people who crucified him, So I understand that you maybe had a bad church experience. A lot of great churches, love church, but you can have those conversations with people and say, yeah, Jesus is a person and I know him and he knows you, you know, so.
Yeah. Going back to your Psalm 23, I love that Psalm, and about 6-7 months back, it just, that same verse you were reading, what stood out to me all of a sudden, it jumped out, you know, he leads me in paths, plural. Mm-hmm. We get so focused on, I got to walk the path he needs me to walk on. There's one choice, but no, it's like, and I do a lot of hiking, and there's some places where I hike where trails interconnect, and it can become are you meandering? No, I'm not. I'm following the trail at that particular moment. And you're just, they just lead to some delightful surprises. I think for me, and I'm going to ask this of you, you on the book cover, it lists you as artist, musician, creative. And I know that in religious circles, a lot of times we are given stereotypes. This is, this is what it means for you to be called. And I'm just curious, within your own self, did you have to push out away some stereotypes that had been defined for you and that you had gone along with, but in order to get to where you sensed God, that place where God was calling you?
Yeah, sure. I mean, I think, again, like what I was saying earlier, at the moment that I really started going down the road of saying, I want to do this and release it out and make it as a book and share these stories, I started feeling the instant blowback of those voices of going, like, and one friend of mine, like literally just in passing, wasn't meaning to be bristly, but kind of said, oh yeah, I heard you're doing a book, you know, so, oh, you're a musician and you're an artist and you're an author now, and then walked away. And I was kind of like, wow, that's just a little bristly, you know what I mean? And just to have those moments and go, so yeah, outside people are defining you as, well, you're this and you're that, right? So why, how are you stepping off into some whole new thing? And so those are the voices, I think, that you just say, you know what, gosh, God is calling me into another season, another step. And to say, wow, yeah, that is a little interesting how there's a little bit of pushback when you try something new. But to realize God is with us. One of the things John Eldredge said that was so cool, some guys were asking him for some real specific answers to some prayer on something and saying, I'm just not hearing any answers, you know? And so I don't hear God anymore. What's the deal? And John said, God could give you the blueprint of what to do and when to do it. And you know why he won't do that? Because he knows you'll follow it and then you'll check in with him every once in a while. But if he doesn't give you a blueprint, he gives you something better. He gives you a father. And I was like, wow. I was like, but my human nature, I'm like, that's all beautiful, but I need to see how this is going to work out thing. And God's like, I'm with you, you know, and whatever you do in word or deed, do it as unto the Lord, you know?
Yeah, I wonder, that made me think, I wonder if Noah got just a little fragment of the blueprint to build the ark every day. It's like, all right, here's where you're putting the nails today. And he had, didn't really quite understand why he was doing what he was doing.
Yeah, that's like the ultimate example. That just seems so crazy. You know, do something crazy and just trust me. It's like, what?
In the desert, build a boat. Yeah. A massive boat. So, where are you still braving? I mean, the book came out 2020, which was the best of times, the worst of times, to quote another author, for a book to come out. But where has your life, you list on the website or what you sent me, more creative stuff coming?
Yeah. So, interestingly, so when that was scheduled to come out, my plan was to go and go to these different cities that I had played music and get people together and do a few songs and share about the book. And then COVID happened and you're like, I'll do none of that. And so I'll click Amazon. You're like, that's it. That's all you can do. And I'm like, wow. And even in that moment, I called my little girls in and I said, hey, let's pray about this. Cause like after 2 years of my life, now I'm going to click a button and it's available or not available. And so we just prayed and said, you know, God, if 5 people read this or 50 or 5,000, we can't control any of that now. Can't control it anyway, but let's just give it to God, you know? And so that was really freeing to do. And then I think then just after the process, and then now with the artwork and different things, I felt like kind of I'm in a season now where 2022 was full of art opportunities that were new, that trying to discern how much time should I be spending that, how much with my music ministry, with my family's number one, I don't want to sacrifice. But interestingly, at the beginning of this year, boy, God showed up again and told me to kind of drop the oars in my boat. Without getting overly spiritual and weird, I kind of had really a vision of a moment where I'm like in this boat and I've been rowing and working really hard, right? Achieving things and trying to get to this next place. And in this little vision, I looked down at it, but in my oars were carved all these little accomplishments and the things I've done and even the things I'm worried about. And it felt like God said, yeah, let it go. And I was like, but I have this great goals and vision and things. And God was like, yeah, you need to let those go. And in my mind, just dropping them and seeing the clear water and watching these oars go away. And I felt very peaceful. And then remembering that I had a sail and put the sail up instead. And then absolutely nothing has happened. There's no wind. So it's a little bit of I think it's the next little book that's being turned around in my heart of God saying, yeah, I'm with you. And yeah, you're not supposed to be rowing right now. I'm with you, you know? Yeah. So it's a thing of waiting on God and trusting God and just being with God. It's something that in the world of our iPhones and stuff, we want to like be on to the next thing and jumping into the next thing. And I feel like God is telling me just to kind of wait for a little bit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's good. Antithetically enigmatic. That's God.
It's a good title.
Yeah. I don't know where that came from. It just, it's hard to say.
Yeah.
Hard to do to trust in. Yet it's so refreshing. It's, and I'm not meaning to talk in cliche. It's a reality. It's,
Hey man, was totally wild. Is one of the Wild at Heart guys. I do kind of, you know, counseling with him every once in a while, consulting and different things. And he shared it with John on a podcast about a month ago, and it just made me cry. He didn't mention my name, but he said, a friend of mine is sharing this analogy that he's walking through. And I'm like, oh my gosh, just to think like maybe that story is for someone who was listening to that. That's and again, another thing about the rivers of God. Mm. They were like, yes, that's for you, but it's also for this one person who is going to be listening randomly on this other day. To trust and let go of the things we're trying to control. Wow. Yeah. So it's easy to talk about, but it's harder to do when it's like, I'm a goal-oriented person and want to work on things and stuff. And God's saying, yeah, like, let those go. Just wait right now and just rest in me.
Yeah. Yeah. Was that Adam? Alan, was that Alan?
Oh, yeah, Alan Arnold.
Yeah. I read his latest book. I was looking at it on my shelf, The Eden Option.
Yeah, so good, man.
Yeah.
Wayne, I loved the part where you're talking about John Eldridge. I think you were out. Were you on a retreat or something?
Yeah, I went to the Wild at Heart men's thing.
Yeah, men's can you share about that?
The part of being out in the snow?
Yeah.
Yeah. So it was, I'm in the Houston area, right? So winter is kind of like, looks out like out Steph's window right now. That looks like winter, you know? So this thing was in Colorado, 450 men, and it's like a 4-day weekend. And boy, and it was right at the early time of that sabbatical. And I was like, I want to go do this as well. And just so powerful, so amazing. Was able to go to that deal. And sometimes they'll have a general session with everyone. And they may say, hey, we're going to take a break now. You'll have like an hour and just go outside and go separate, be by yourself and just see, ask God what he's saying in your heart. And he said, now also it is 3 degrees today and there's a lot of snow. So no one die. Don't go too far. And I was like, oh my gosh, like I'm glad I brought my one coat that I have that's, you know, built for Colorado. And so everyone disbands out in the snow and So I'm walking, and there was this one area going up that I was like, oh, I'm going to climb, go back up this little way, because there's this great view of this valley in Buena Vista, Colorado. And it's like, I'll get up there, and that's where God will, you know, speak to me about something cool. And so I'm walking, and I'm, you know, I'm just trudging along through the snow, and kind of almost audibly, I'm still in the camp at this point. I felt like God was like, hey, this is good right here. And I like turn and look, and there's this kind of building that is like, there's chain link fence around it. There's looks like it's being worked on, but they're stopping for the winter. There were stacks of, you know, lumber and roofing stuff, but there's snow on it and chain link fence. And I was like, a construction zone. I'm like, okay, God, like, I'm going to go up a little further, and then I'm going to see your creation, and that's where you'll speak to me. And God was like, no, this is it right here. And I was like, this is a complete letdown. Like, and so I stand there, and I'm like, well, what is this about? And I felt like God say, this is you. You're under construction. And I was like, what? And so I just stand there looking, and I'm kind of getting teary eyed, and just really felt like God was saying, yeah, like, let's take this wall out, and let's add this window, and let's do this, and let's clean out some of this junk in the closet or whatever. But I'm not going to just tell you to go do it, or I'm not going to fix it for you, but let's do it together. Let's work on your house together. And that was very profound, because that's, again, I was trying to put God in the box of like, come show me this view, and then I want you to speak X, Y, Z into my life. And he's like, no, we're not talking about all that. I'm not trying to answer your questions of what's next. It's like, we're here to work on you. And I'm like, I don't want you to work on me. I want you to tell me what I'm supposed to do next. But God's like, no, like, you're under construction. And I was able to, when I did interview John, we did like a Zoom just like this. And I shared that story. And when I told him, he like raised his hands up in the air like this. He's like, yes. And he said, a little bit of comfort. I continually feel like a construction project, you know, like we all are. Like, we're like the disciples who one second we're like, I've got it figured out and I'm on level ground. And then the next day we're asking dumb questions. Hey, when we get to heaven, who's first in line? And, you know, what are you going to do with me? And it's like, you guys are not listening. So yeah, that was a wild experience. And that was really amazing. Just that conference to be able to meet different guys from all these different fields and all these different parts of the world, all hearing unique individual, just encouraging words from the same God, but just uniquely tailored to all of us. It's mind blowing.
Wayne, I'll tell you why that spoke to me. So, you know, Dimby and I, we bought this 3-story mansion in the middle of nowhere and let people come stay with us. Just like, I'll pray over you, eat fried chicken, like, just let people come, right? So we've had about 1,500 people come to our house. But it has been the slowest process, right? And Dimby, I know you know him, like, you've seen him, he's very pretty, and I'm handy. So I've done
that's most, funny.
Yeah, I've done most of the work. I told him he gets to be the eye candy. Anyway, so as I have been working on our house, like, I'm always stripping, always redoing floors, you know, like, I'm up on scaffolding, I'm doing all these things. And I've shed so many tears processing like life through this house. And you're constantly stripping away all of these things. And all my siblings passed away. And I told you about the babies, but like, it is how God used physical movement to tell me to take the story and give it away. Like, everything that's in the way, you know, everything that's blocking the light, we're going to get rid of it and we're going to use it. But you're going to have to take your time. And this is not one of those things where you get to hire a crew of people and they're going to come in and reno you. Like, it's just you and me, baby. Like, so it spoke so deeply to me. Just a reminder of how beautiful an architect and builder that God is.
Yes. Wow. Yeah. That's beautiful, because even what you're saying, it could be one of those HGTV crew of 40 people that in one day they restore your house, right? But that's like a totally different like economy than what God's saying. Actually, he's like wanting you to have the process to hear these times of stripping a floor and hearing his voice and working on the next thing and feeling his presence, and that's worth a quintillion times more than that. Yeah. Like I think I referenced it in the book that I built that treehouse out at our property. Mm-hmm. Right. And which was, I'm not the construction guy, so it was fraught with peril, but it's still there. It's still standing. But part of it, I was having to clear out this tree, and there was all these vines that had grown up in there, and they were tapping out the water around these trees. And it was like, I got to clear all this so the tree can stay healthy. And several of the times as I was pulling those out, they were stuck up in there. And like, Jesus was like, oh yeah, that's what I do. Like, yeah, I'm pulling all that sin out of there. Right. Like, cause it starts as a little thing. Well, that's a little weed. It's not a big deal. And you look up and it's like 90 feet tall and taking literally the nutrients and killing the tree. It's like, whoa. Yeah. So we have those moments where you're like, wow, that God wants to take a strange moment like that and speak to us and stir around, you know, things in our heart. Yeah. It's interesting.
This story, our stories reminds me of a Rich Mullins lyric. I forgot which song, but the lyric is, the wind don't blow where you want it to go. It blows where it will, and you follow.
Mm. Wow. That's that whole thing with the oars that I feel like God is kind of taking me through. And maybe there's like going to be like a little illustrated kind of modern day parable about this whole deal. Cause it's really that. It's not just, it's the bigger picture of, in and of myself, I want to go this way. It's like, I'm going to go that way. It's like Adam all the way back. It's like Adam and Eve, we're going this way. And God's like, what's best for you is this way. You know, and it's like, that's great, but I'm also going to go this way and you're invited. And he's like, well, fine. And you get what you get, you know, or we can say, wow, I just want to rest and trust in you where that may go. And that may be uncharted, or it may be something unplanned or not as neatly in a bow as we wish it was. But that's amazing what you're doing with your house. That's cool.
Wow. Everyone thinks we're insane. That's also adds to the fun dynamic.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
But anyway.
And you're probably right on track then.
Yes. I guess so. Yeah. We had about 180 people surround the house and pray over it. And I was like, they all think we have a cult. Like, all the neighbors, they think we have a cult. But
oh,
anyway,
man.
I just want to say thank you, Wayne. You have ministered to me today.
Oh, gosh.
I'm thankful to share Jesus with you like that, the Holy Spirit speaking, you know, just thank Amen. You.
Thank you. I appreciate you too sharing that story about your house. That's beautiful.
Thank you. Yeah. Just reiterate. Thank you. I love conversation like this, and this will continue to breathe, and it will continue to, however the wind blows this in other people's lives. Thank you for being with us.
Yeah. Well, I'm just thankful. Thanks for the chance to just talk and share these things. And I just pray that if someone is randomly watching this, that they can take the seeds that maybe they heard and say, wow, I'm going to let that sink in. I'm going to water it a little bit. I'm not going to discard it or throw it away. But if there was something that touched you and you're sitting there watching this, that you would say, wow, okay, God, what are you saying in that? And carve a little time to be alone and say, you know, will you speak to me in this too? Because God is using all these rivers to reach all of us and draw us closer to him. And so I pray that happens for all of us.
Yeah. Thank you. We started with your song, The Mirror, and you told us earlier before we jumped on here that song went, where did it place on the Christian charts and
yes.
Where?
Now, I don't want to brag now, guys. Okay. But it was, I think, number seven in the Netherlands for a week, 10 years ago. That's funny. But it was, here's what's really funny. Like when a song like that, you know, it was the first time to kind of have something with like a radio promoter in Christian music. And, you know, we would get little updates and it would say this radio station is added it or this radio station. And it was like very unknown places. It was like West Patahoncha Lake, so-and-so in Oklahoma. And I'm like, where is that at? And I'm Googling. I'm like, I've not heard of that. And then like someone else would add it. And then like, I remember like Tampa Bay is playing it. And I was like, I've heard of Tampa Bay. That's amazing. And just a few ran, and then Atlanta. And I was like, Atlanta, you know, but of all the things that might've happened with that, but I got one email from this girl and she said, I was driving and heard this song and pulled over and it spoke to me. And I was asking God, like, because the song talks about is my value in the outside and what people say or think or what people see, or is my value in the inside? Like, God looks at the heart, right? It's not about what's in the mirror. God has a different economy. He looks at our heart. So in this one girl, she said, I had to track you down and find who is this guy wrote this. And I wanted to send you an email. That was worth the whole process of doing it. You know?
Wow. So. It was big in the Netherlands and so was Van Gogh. So, you know, it's a...
Funny. Thank you all for letting me be with you today.
Yes. Stick around just a moment as we tell everybody goodbye and out we go with Wayne's song.
At the end of the day, does your heart rise and fall by what they say? Greatness is more than what you look like, and it's more like who you are.
What you see when you look in the mirror.